Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, February 6th, 2025. We'll start with a story titled Look for the Helpers. Concerned residents come together to protect immigrants, and this is written by Kegla White. When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping," said Fred Rogers in his beloved television program for children, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. What do nurses, small business owners, HVAC technicians, local politicians, hairdressers, and members of the media have in common? In Danville, several of them are concerned about the plight of the area immigrants, and they are hoping to become those helpers Mr. Rogers spoke about. I want to start by saying that I have been concerned about the immigrants, and especially the children, for a long time, especially when they separated families. When they separated families, local child and family advocate Deanne Ryan said into the microphone. More than 30 people were gathered at the community advocacy meeting Saturday, February 1st, at the Three Kings of Peace's Roselawn Fitness Center, all concerned with one thing, protecting local immigrants who feel fearful under President Donald Trump's new plan to deport millions. Ryan was joined by Reverend Frank McCullough, Jr., one of the Three Kings of Peace, as well as local activists Victoria Booth and Deonta Brooks, who sat alongside Ryan, offering their insights from time to time. There are people who want to help, and I just kind of gathered these people as quick as I could, Ryan said, gesturing to McCullough, Brooks, and Booth. After the meeting had been called by Ryan in response to interest she received after calling on the school board of Danville District 118 Monday, January 27th, to ensure they were committed to protecting students and families in area schools who would be at risk of arrest by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as ICE agents. Brooks also spoke, emphasizing that he had a mission to ensure that every individual, regardless of immigration status, had access for resources, protection, and support. Let's transform concern into action. Together we can create a stronger, more supported community where no one faces these challenges alone, Brooks said. Despite assurances from Danville Police Department Chief Christopher Yates that ICE agents are not currently operating in the area, to his knowledge, Ryan thought holding the meeting was important. Even though some people in our town say we don't have a problem and that the police are not going to arrest people unless they have a criminal record, it doesn't mean that people aren't afraid anyway, Ryan said. I've already heard of some people being afraid to come to school and to get health care because they are afraid of being identified, she added. Employers concerned with protecting employees from ICE. Among different ideas put forward by the group were the importance of running in local political races, putting pressure on elected officials, and keeping informed of what one's rights and responsibilities should they be approached by ICE agents. I'm here not only as a human being that lives in this community, but as an employer, said Hope Garrett, CEO and Manager of Education Personnel Federal Credit Union. I've been studying up on what to do. I do if they show up at the door and they're looking for one of my employees. Garrett spoke about the importance of educating staff on how to respond when ICE agents come to their place of employment. They're allowed to walk into a public place anytime they want because it's public, but once they get to my credit union, they can stand at the teller line, they can go in the loan office, but they can't go to say my employee break room because that's not open to the public, Garrett said. So the key is to educate my staff ahead of time that is their safe place. Frank Wright, owner of Wright's Heating and Air, was also in attendance. Among his key points was the importance of making it easier for immigrants to become citizens. Wright is the product of two different immigrant families from Ireland who entered through Ellis Island. And I've got to find where I need to go from here. Did you know it took a maximum of 5 hours for my grandpas, O'David and O'Shannon, to become citizens? That's all it took. When you came up on the boat, 3 to 5 hours later, you were out of there, Wright said. We need to get back to that. You should not have to prove yourself to nothing except that you're a child of God. Let's fix the underlying problem of making it hard to become a citizen, Wright said. Support and resources from politicians. Also in attendance in the advocacy meeting Saturday was local activist and politician Mary Catherine Roberson, who spoke on behalf of Congresswoman Robin Kelly. I'm a lifelong resident of Danville, and I've worked with a lot of you on various causes, so I know a lot of you guys have been fighting the fight here in Danville for decades, Roberson said, emphasizing that she was there on behalf of the Congresswoman, not any political capacity. If people do have active citizenship cases that they need assistance with, there are congressional liaisons, not just the citizens, but also Social Security and U.S. federal agencies, Roberson said, adding that Kelly and others want to be kept aware of what's going on in the community so that their office can best support those she represents. Roberson, who is a director of constituent services for Kelly, closed by reminding those present that such meetings are important not just for brainstorming ways to support immigrants, but also because many are too afraid to come to such meetings themselves. I know our immigrant friends can't always come and show up because of their fears, so they need to know who is in the community, who really have their back, and who they could call in the instances that they are needed help. They needed our help, Roberson said. The refugee center in Champaign, among topics discussed at the informal meeting Saturday, were different ways for concerned residents to help support and protect area immigrants, including giving them rides to the refugee center in Champaign. The center, which was started 40 years ago by Vietnamese refugees, has expanded its scope to offer resources and assistance to all sorts of immigrants, according to their website. Services offered at the refugee center include help with case management, referrals to health care and legal services, and help with applying for government benefits. They also offer assistance in applying for permanent residency, citizenship, family reunification, and other immigration issues. The center also offers immigrants assistance by accompanying them to jobs, doctor visits, court hearings, and other situations that may require an interpreter, especially when dealing with immigrants that speak Spanish, French, Vietnamese, Pashto, Dan, Urdu, Hindi, and Punjabi. I haven't heard about any of those. Some of those. The concern about being approached by ICE is definitely much more profound than I've seen in a long time, and the added insecurity regarding what were formerly deemed sensitive areas, such as schools, churches, and hospitals, is now off the table after this executive order that retracted that protection, Lisa Wilson, executive director of the Refugee Center, told the Commercial News. Wilson emphasized that the recent executive order, which removed policies which previously prevented ICE agents from conducting raids and making arrests at such sensitive areas, is currently being fought in the courts. The center's focus now is getting the word out about immigrant rights. We're trying to inform as many people as we can in as many languages as we can as to what their rights actually are should they be confronted by ICE, Wilson said. Those in need of services can visit the center Monday through Thursday, though Wilson said they appreciate appointments, especially for those who may be coming from further away, as the center can be quite busy at times. We are saddened by the Trump administration's decisions regarding immigration, Wilson said. We think immigration is very valuable to East Central Illinois, both in terms of diversity and economic stability, and we stand ready to help those in need. Counting the cost. At the meeting Saturday, many residents expressed their support for area immigrants, but some were concerned about their own safety. When one resident raised concerns about the possible consequences of refusing to assist ICE agents in their efforts to detain immigrants, one local activist reminded those present that such actions must be undertaken with courage and awareness. If you're worried about what might happen to you, go into this with your eyes open, Gloria Morris said to applause from the attendants. Morris served for many years as a public defender before retiring. In the current fascist regimen, you're going to have at least a file on you eventually. Your kids probably will too, Morris said. But you gotta decide what's right and what's wrong. The next meeting of the community advocacy group will take place at 6:30 p.m. on February 17th at the Roselawn Fitness Center. After the meeting, those present will be shown a live webinar on protecting immigrant families. And there's a picture of Gloria Morris, retired public defender and longtime activist, speaks at local community advocacy meeting Saturday, February 1st. The meeting was a gathering of Vermilion County locals who want to work on behalf of immigrant families and children fearful of ICE arrests. Next story is titled, This Is Not Over. City of Danville Human Relations Administrator Says She Was Fired for Bogus Reasons. Again written by Kegla White. Mere hours before Tuesday's City Council meeting, Sandra Finch, Human Relations Administrator for the City of Danville, was relieved of her position by Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. for what she calls bogus reasons. I believe the mayor and someone else is involved in, and they have had every intention to get me terminated, because the reason they terminated me for was bogus. It's not grounds of termination, Finch said to the Commercial News. Finch was initially put on administrative leave Monday before receiving the news around 4 p.m. Tuesday that she had been terminated, she said. According to Finch, the reason she was let go began with her decision to support a tenant who had filed a complaint against the landlord and had not, in Finch's opinion, been given the proper attention by the city. A tenant did not get service from the City of Danville to protect her against the landlord. The city attorney never looked into the matter, and I'm the one who gets terminated, Finch said. At Tuesday's City Council meeting, County Board Member Jerry Hawker spoke on behalf of Finch during the public comment section. I worked closely with Sandra for 20 years as a landlord. She has always been the protector of the downtrodden, the ministries, and those that are marginalized in the community, Hawker said. Acknowledging her for many years of service to the city, adding that it was a sad day for the City of Danville. Finch said she is committed to working hard on behalf of all of the residents of Danville. I fight for everyone's rights. I don't care what color you are, where you come from. People in the community know me. They know that what I stand for, because I try to protect the citizens of Danville, both tenants' rights and landlord rights, Finch said. Finch, who has worked for the city for almost 35 years, said she plans to fight for her termination. I'm going to respond to this bogus termination, she said. This is not over. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said, I can give no comment on personal matters when asked about Finch being dismissed of her position. There's a lot of obituaries today, so we'll start with those. Elizabeth Louise Van Duen, 75, of Pekin, passed away on Sunday, February 2nd, at Liberty Village at Pekin. A celebration of life for Liz will take place at 2 p.m. on Monday, February 10th, at Sunset Funeral Homes Urbis Chapel at 414 South State Street in Westville. Visitation will be from Monday, February 10th, from 12 to 2 at Sunset Funeral Homes in Westville. Burial will follow at Oak Hill Cemetery. Memorials in Liz's name may be made to the Breast Cancer Foundation at www.nationalbreastcancer.org or Alzheimer's Association at www.alz.org. Stanley Scott Combs, 22, of Waynetown, Indiana, died after a long battle with physical and mental illnesses on Monday, February 3rd. Visitation will be held from noon to 2 Illinois time, 1 to 3 Indiana time, on Saturday, February 8th at Cayuga Christian Church at 406 South Logan Street in Cayuga, Indiana, with the funeral immediately following. Memorial donations may be made toward Stanley's funeral expenses at Sunset Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown, Illinois, 61846. Diane Linnea Livingston, 74, of Warrensville, South Carolina, formerly of Catlin, Illinois, passed away peacefully at home on January 30th. A celebration of Diane's life is being planned, with details to be announced soon. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to the Alzheimer's Association. David Heath Sawyer, 92, of Catlin, passed away at 1:15 p.m. Saturday, February 1st, at Goldwater Nursing Home in Danville, Illinois. Memorial services will be held at 12 p.m. noon on Friday, February 7th at Robeson Chapel in Catlin, Illinois, with Pastor Craig Roller officiating. Visitation will be held from 11 to 12 noon on Friday, February 7th, prior to the service at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Vermilion County Animal Shelter at 14775 Catlin Tilton Road, Danville, Illinois, 61836. And Robert W. Bob Randall, 86, died peacefully Saturday, February 1st, held close by his devoted wife while listening to the Psalms 23. The family will greet friends and relatives for a visitation on Thursday, February 6th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home in 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Funeral services will be held Friday, February 7th at 11 a.m. at the Danville First Church of Nazarene at 2212 North Vermilion Street in Danville. A private family burial at the cemetery will take place later in the day. In lieu of flowers, the family requests support of any of these organizations that were especially important to Bob. The Danville Church of the Nazarene, Danville Area Community College, and Danville Symphony Orchestra. Okay, the next story is officially in the running. Jaleel Jones wins second hearing, will be included on April ballot as candidate for Ward 1 Alderman. This again is written by Kegla White. In a repeat hearing held in the Danville Election Commission Wednesday, Danville area resident Jaleel Jones again won a chance to run for Ward 1 Alderman in April's election. The commissions voted unanimously to reject Alderman Darren York's petition to block Jones from running. This was the second hearing for the same petition after the first hearing, which happened in December of 2024, was ruled null due to an error on the part of Sandy DeLay, director of the Danville Election Commission. DeLay had failed to inform the public beforehand, violating the Open Meetings Act requiring a repeat hearing. York's objection to Jones's paperwork to run for the alderman was based on concerns he raised regarding some of the 50 signatures Jones collected, twice as many as he needed to be added to the ballot, as well as the lack of Ward 1 alderman heading on some of the pages of the paperwork. The commission ruled in Jones's favor Wednesday, arguing that York's objection was invalid because he is not a resident of Ward 1, the ward Jones is running to represent. To further support their claim that York's objections were null, Jones' attorney brought forward the 1975 case of Lewis versus Dunn in Illinois. Supreme Court case in which Lewis, a Cook County man running as a judge, was opposed by Dunn on the grounds that he had not properly informed people of the position he was running to fill. The Illinois Supreme Court ruled in favor of Lewis, giving him the chance to run for judge on the basis that nominating paperwork should not be invalidated on technical grounds as long as they comply with statutory requirements. At the hearing Wednesday, Alderman Ed Butler, president of the local chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, known as NAACP, spoke against York's objection, calling it racially motivated. Jones, a young black man, wants to make a difference in the city, to be a beacon for other young black men, to bring them off the streets of violence to a seat at the table to make a difference in our community, Butler said, addressing the commission during the public comments section of the hearing. But he's met with resistance from another white man continuing to suppress another young black man. Mr. York needs to man up and realize that we as black men have that same right as he has as a white man. York previously said his motivation in objecting to Jones was a desire to keep incumbent Alderman Robert Williams in his seat. In response to a question regarding the possibility of a resident of Ward 1 bringing York's same objections against Jones in the future to stop him from being included on the ballot, Attorney John Beardsley, attorney for the Danville Election Commission, said it's too late. According to 10 ILCS 5-10-8, an objection has to be made in writing within 5 business days after the last day for filing the certificate of nomination or nomination papers, Beardsley said. So it's too late for somebody else to object this time. After the brief hearing ended, Jones smiled and said the outcome was what I expected it would be, adding that he is just happy that no ruling is what it was before. As for the next steps, Jones said he plans to move forward and start building what I am trying to build and to start laying out my vision and my commission. Alderman York left the hearing room immediately after the hearing was adjourned, and he could not be reached for comment before press time. And there's a picture of Jaleel Jones, candidate for Ward 1 alderman, sits between his attorney, Molly Gregory, of the law firm Huber & Mudd, right on the right, and Alderman Ed Butler on the left. Butler spoke in support of Jones, claiming he believed Alderman Darren York's objection to Jones was racial. Next story, U of I ultra marathon runner author speaks at Rotary, and this is written by a staff reporter. Danville Noon Rotary welcomed ultra-marathon runner, author, and local history fanatic Michael Casper at a recent meeting. A Schlarman High School graduate, Casper has been documenting the many perspectives of his daily runs in Danville in his Instagram account at Run Danville. His photography inspired him to take his ability to share the rich history of Danville by writing a book. He has spent countless hours conducting research at the Vermilion County Museum, Danville Public Library, Ileana Genealogical and Historical Society, and learning from local residents. It is a work in progress, and details on its release will be available at www.rundanville.com, a news release states. Casper recently ran across the state of Illinois to help raise money for mental health programs. His personal mantra is to create, iterate, and evolve, and be certainly he certainly is an example of what we can accomplish with great big goals and a whole lot of discipline. The release states the Danville Noon Rotary's next meeting will be Monday, March 3rd at Workforce Enterprises. The meeting begins at noon. Rick Rotrommel will be presenting the Rotary's honorary gifts to the War Museum, Veterans Administration, Post 210, and the DACC Foundation community members are invited to attend. And there's a picture of Michael Casper Left is pictured with Danville Noon Rotary President Tanya Hill. We'll read through quite a few community briefs here. Church plants spaghetti dinner. The Elkwood United Methodist Church will serve a spaghetti dinner at the church located on the corner of Oakwood and Colette Streets in Oakwood Saturday, February 15th from 4 to 7 p.m. The dinner will include a choice of two different sauces, garlic bread, salad, dessert, and a drink. A free will donation will be requested. All proceeds go to the 2025 Appalachia Service Project Group. And VFW plans Super Bowl. The Fountain County Old Guard VFW Post 2395, located at 1212 Liberty Street in Covington, will host a Super Bowl party Sunday, February 9th. Doors will open at 2 p.m. Festivities include a chili cook-off with entries due by 4:30 p.m. Judging will begin at 5. There will be three big screen televisions for viewing the game, and the celebration will include drink specials. And Westville Library plans program. The Westville Public Library will have a preschool program February 10th at 10 a.m. The event will feature story time, a craft, and a snack with a Valentine's theme. To register, call the library at 217-267-3170. Afternoon at the Movies returns with a showing of Everest on February 5th at 2 p.m. Light refreshments will be served. Friends of the Westville Public Library will host U of I Extension's Create Better Health program February 24th at 11:30 a.m. This is a free program, but please call 217-267-3170 to register before February 18th. And Hoopston Library closes for the holiday. Hoopston Public Library will be closed on Wednesday, February 12th for the Illinois State observance of Lincoln's birthday. The library will also be closed on Monday, February 7th for President's Day. And actress, performer, guests at Liberty Village. Teresa Ross, local performer and actress, will be the guest honor at the Liberty Estates at 3220 Independence Drive, Liberty Village of Danville, Friday, February 21st from 3 to 4 p.m. Ross will be showcasing a variety of music. This is a free event and the public is invited to attend. And Sweet Adeline's offer Singing Valentines. Looking for a unique way to surprise your sweetheart friend, relative, or a co-worker for this Valentine's Day? For $25, the Danville Sweet Adelines will deliver a song and a flower to their home, work, school, restaurant, etc. on Friday, February 14th. To schedule a delivery, call Maureen at 217-474-0473 or by February 12th. The flowers are donated by Berry's Nursery and Floral. So, Illinois Lottery, pick 3, midday, 917, pick 4, 6250, lucky day, 66, 17, 18, 26, and 34, and the lotto jackpot is $10.25 million. And Indiana Lottery is pick daily 3, midday, 136, daily 4, midday, 0841, lotto jackpot, $39.1 million, Powerball jackpot, $113 million, and Mega Millions is $94 million. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, February 6th. Looks like it's going to be a decent day. Didn't get all that nasty hell and rain and ice stuff, so that's good. Hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.